If you had to guess, what would you say is the most generous act of all time? If you said the cross, you'd be absolutely correct. Hi, I'm Rob West. Jesus gave his life that we might enter into heaven with him forever. We must only have faith in him as our Lord and Savior to receive this free gift. Art Rayner joins us today with some thoughts on what the cross reveals about generosity. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a treat to welcome Art Rayner back on the program. Art is the director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health, the organization that certifies Christian financial counselors. Art, great to have you back with us.
Rob, it is always an honor to join you.
Art, we'll talk more about the CERT CFC program in just a little bit. But first, I want to dig into this passage of scripture that we're talking about today. It happens to come from Matthew 27. So why don't you take us into this and pull out the big ideas for us?
Yeah, in Matthew 27, we read how the unfathomable became reality. God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to the world. While on the earth, he lived a sinless life, doing what no human ever could do on their own, yet he was condemned to die on a cross. In Matthew 27, we see Jesus willingly hanging on a cross, knowing his sacrifice was the only way men and women could be forgiven of their sins and have a right relationship with God. So Christians can't look at the cross without seeing radical generosity. The blood-stained wood reminds us of the greatest gift ever given. It shows us what genuine biblical generosity looks like. The cross reveals five important lessons. First, biblical generosity is not deserved. There has never been, nor will there ever be, a human that deserved what we read about in Matthew 27. The Bible is very clear on this matter. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God."
Yeah, absolutely. Justification by grace through faith, it is the only way to heaven provided by Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. And the next lesson is that biblical generosity should be a priority. God did not give us his leftovers. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God gives us his one and only, his first and best. God leads us in the first fruits principle found in Proverbs 3:9 and all throughout Scripture.
Yeah, no question about it. So clearly it's not deserved, and it should be a priority when we're talking about biblical generosity. What's the next lesson you pull out here, Art?
Yeah, it's that biblical generosity should be sacrificial. Sacrifice occurs when something that is both desirable and beneficial is given up. Jesus' sacrifice was not only astonishing because he was unjustly executed, Jesus' sacrifice was astonishing because he took on the wrath of God for all sins, past, present, and future. It is an act that is truly unfathomable to the human mind. It is the epitome of sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely. And through his sinlessness, Jesus was the only person who could do all that. What is then the next lesson?
Yeah, that's right. Biblical generosity should reflect God's generosity. God is a generous God. And throughout Scripture, we see God's generosity on full display. God's generosity is no more evident than when he sent his son to earth as our sacrificial lamb. And our final lesson is this: biblical generosity impacts eternity. The cross certainly impacted eternity. When we give, individuals may hear about and put their faith in Christ because we chose to live with open hands. It is an amazing honor to live and give generously.
Yeah, and there's no question about that. Art, people are watching, which means that the way we handle money, how tightly we grip it, how loosely we hold it, is a testimony to the world, especially in uncertain times. Would you agree?
Yeah, without question. For most of the world, generosity is about the leftovers. After a few needs have been taken care of, after the wants have been considered, then what we look at in our bank account, whatever's left, that's what we give out of. We demonstrate God's gift to us best when we ensure that giving is a priority, that it's done proportionally, sacrificially, and cheerfully.
We'll talk about the implications to all of this in your life and giving with Art Rayner, plus more on the Certified Christian Financial Counselor certification. Art Rayner with us, director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health. We'll be back with more right after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Does God rule over all things? Throughout church history, Christians have answered yes, overwhelmingly. Yes, yes, He does. It's the doctrine of the sovereignty of God, and you can find it throughout Scripture, but one place is Isaiah 46:10. The Lord says, "I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please." Nothing ever catches God by surprise. What He will do in the future is known by Him from beginning to end, and that's a truth that brings comfort if you know that God is good. Good all the time. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. So the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. With me today, my friend Art Rayner. He's the director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health, the organization that certifies Christian financial counselors. In fact, we'll talk about the CERT CFC program in just a bit. It may be the perfect certification for you if you feel called to help God's people steward their financial resources. But first, Art, just before the break, you were unpacking Matthew 27 for us, this unfathomable reality that Jesus, having lived a sinless life, did what no human could do. He gave his life to be condemned on a cross so that we might, through his substitutionary atonement, big word, we might be reconciled to the Father and have a right relationship with him. But as you said so well, that has implications for so many things, including our generosity. Now, one of the questions that so often comes up is, okay, Art, we're no longer under the law of Moses, we're under the law of Christ. So how do we pull forward that guideline of the tithe and yet still live within what the New Testament describes as generous giving when we look at Jesus' own words?
Yeah, so throughout Scripture, what we see is that, one, we are to make giving a priority. We are to give our first and our best. We've mentioned that. We also see the concept of proportional or percentage-based giving, that we are to give according to what God has entrusted to us. So there should be a relationship between what God has entrusted to us and the amount of our giving. God could have said, everybody give $1,000 and we'll just call it a day, but he didn't. Instead, he said, there should be a relationship between what I've given you and what you then give toward my mission. And then, as we've already mentioned, giving is to be done sacrificial. One of my favorite stories about sacrificial generosity is found in the gospel, where we have the widow who gave only two coins. Now, if you recall that story, Jesus was at the temple treasury watching people give large sums of money. And he pulled his disciples over and he said, do you see her? And he was pointing at the widow who gave two coins. And he said, she gave more than anybody else here. Now, was Jesus bad at math? No. Was his financial literacy low? No. Was he bad at pre-algebra like I was? No. What was he saying? He was saying that in God's economy, amount sacrificed supersedes amount given. You see, God cares more about what's left at home than what's put into the offering plate. You see, when the rich went home, assuming that they were just giving out of excess, their life went on like normal. There was not sacrifice. But when the widow went home, her life was dramatically altered. And we will find our hearts most full of contentment and satisfaction when we give sacrificially, which once again means that we're giving up something that's both desirable and beneficial. But we also can give cheerfully in the midst of sacrifice because we're looking through the lens of eternity and we're seeing the eternal impact. Lives changed forever. Which, by the way, that widow, I bet that she had the best smile in the place. I bet you that she was grinning cheek to cheek, that she was giving maybe a few fist bumps and high fives as she went to give that gift, because there's no way that Jesus would have pointed out a grumpy giver for our example for how we should give. More than likely, actually, I know she was a cheerful giver.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And that's very well said. You know, our friend Randy Alcorn calls the tithe the training wheels of giving. And it seems appropriate because for those of us who have seen what Jesus has done on our behalf on the cross, Art, it seems like it would just be natural that the bar would be raised. That yes, we should give proportionately. Yes, we should give systematically. But to whom much is given, much is required. It seems like we ought to go well beyond our giving systematically to the local church and look for that opportunity to be sacrificial, as the widow was, the most famous giver in the New Testament. We don't know her name. We know she gave out of her poverty. But it also strikes me, Art, that in order to do that, we need to have a plan for our giving. That's just not going to happen haphazardly, is it?
That's right. And that's, you mentioned systematic giving. We also find that in Scripture, where we are planning our generosity in order to be able to take a portion of our income. We need to know, okay, what is our income and what are we going to do when that income hits? Now, there certainly is a place for spontaneous giving when we give that's above and beyond what we had even planned because the Holy Spirit has prompted us to do so. So there certainly is a place for that, but you have to plan your giving. Those who are generous, who follow God's design for money, tend to be systematic. They plan out their giving. For those who don't, you end up usually giving less than you ever intended.
Yeah, there's no question. Art, this was so helpful. I don't want time to get away from us, though. So let's talk for a moment about the Certified Christian Financial Counselor Program, or CERT-CFC for short. Share the vision around this certification, why you saw the need for it.
We need an army of men and women who are helping others learn about and pursue God's design for money. We need people that can help explain what the Bible says about money, and then also how to live that out practically in their finances. And so CERT-CFCs, or Certified Christian Financial Counselors, guide individuals and couples in making wise financial decisions like getting out of debt, build sound financial habits like keeping a budget and saving for emergencies, and increasing their biblical financial literacy. And so we're looking for men and women who want to do just that.
Mm. Art, I had a call just the other day of a couple, and they were just really struggling to find a way forward in terms of bringing their finances together. They were operating out of the mine and yours mentality. Is that something that a CERT-CFC could help with as well?
Yes, absolutely. CERT CFCs can work with couples who may be on different pages as it relates to their finances or not following God's design for their marriage in the area of finances, where God wants us to be one in all areas, including our money. And so a CERT CFC can help couples get on the same page to help them follow the same mission and ultimately chase after God's design for their marriage and for their finances.
Yeah, that's helpful. We have just a couple of minutes left. Quickly, what about those in our audience today who think they might like to become a CERT CFC? What are the requirements?
Well, if you are passionate about what the Bible says about money, if you love helping people with their finances, if you want to start your own financial counseling practice or serve in your church in that capacity, or you want a trustworthy designation, then the Certified Christian Financial Counselor Program is for you. You would be a good candidate for that program.
Excellent. And what about those in our audience who think they might need a CERT CFC? You mentioned a few of the reasons. They're having difficulty communicating about finances in their marriage. They need help with a budget. Anything you might want to add for that group?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to faithfi.com. You'll see the Find a Professional link. Click on that. And then if you click Get Out of Debt, if you click you need help with budgeting, then it will direct you to a Certified Christian Financial Counselor.
Excellent. Art, we so appreciate your time today, my friend. I appreciate you encouraging us, inspiring us to biblical generosity, but also sharing with us about the CERT CFC designation. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
All right, folks, listen, if you'd like to help others be wise and faithful stewards of God's money, perhaps you want to earn the CERT CFC certification, just head to ChristianFinancialHealth.com. Now, if you think you could benefit from a certified Christian financial counselor, go to faithfi.com and click Find a Professional at the top of the page. That's faithfi.com. That was Art Rayner, director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. We'll be right back after this break.
The Word is God's self-revelation. It's how God makes himself known.
American Family Studios presents the award-winning documentary, The God Who Speaks.
So it's profound that Christ would be called the Word made flesh.
The God Who Speaks at resources.afa.net.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Here's a chance for a trip full of great memories with AFA at the Ark. You can join Wesley and Walker Wildman for a special trip to the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum, October 31st through November 2nd. Enjoy tours, activities, and special presentations, and join a panel discussion with the Wildmans. Space is limited, so visit afa.net/events and click AFA at the Ark to find out more and register. That's afa.net/events and click AFA at the Ark.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Here's Rob West of Faith and Finance, heard here daily on American Family Radio.
We understand how important it is for Christians to leave a legacy that will impact generations to come. One way you can do that is through a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure and money a tool. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, and we want to take your calls and questions today on anything financial, providing encouragement and hope, but also directing you back to God's Word for timeless wisdom and truth about every facet of our lives, but certainly that includes our money management. Recognizing God is the owner of everything and we're a steward, our goal is faithfulness. Faithfulness to what God has entrusted to us. We want to help you do that each day on this program. In fact, we've got lines open. We're ready for you right now at 800-525-7000. Perhaps you're out and about driving, but you can get to a safe place to stop and ask that question you've been wrestling with. Maybe you're at home or at work or listening on the treadmill as you work out. We'd love to talk to you about whatever you're thinking about in your financial life today, whether it's your lifestyle, staying on budget, maybe it's paying off that debt that you can't seem to get rid of. Maybe you're having trouble communicating about money in marriage, or you want to give wisely. Perhaps it's navigating the market. Whatever it might be, you can call right now. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Lines are open. All right, we're going to dive in today. Let's begin with Sue in New Mexico. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
The question I have is, my husband already turned 70. He started drawing Social Security. I will be 65 in June. And from my understanding, I can never withdraw more than 50% of what he is drawing.
That's right.
Is there a downside to me going ahead and drawing Social Security off of his benefits?
No, with that spousal benefit, you're right. You're going to be capped at 50%, which you will get at whatever your full retirement age is. So whether that's 66 and 6 months or whatever that might be, once you reach that point, there's no reason for you to wait, assuming you're taking spousal benefits. Now, do you also have your own benefit based on your own work record as well, Sue?
Yeah, yes, I do. And based on what I would make withdrawn from mine, it's quite a bit less than drawing from his.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, what some people do is they will let their benefit continue to grow, and then they'll start taking the spousal benefit since you're capped out at 50% of your spouse's benefit, and there's no reason to delay that past full retirement age. You don't want to take it early because it will be reduced, but as long as you get to full retirement age, you're capped out at 50% of his. But if you had a work record and a benefit that could ultimately be bigger than your spousal benefit, you could let that grow until age 70 while you're taking the spousal benefit and then switch. But it sounds like that will never get higher than his, or at least 50% of his. And so therefore, it makes the most sense, Sue, for you to go ahead and begin taking that spousal benefit as soon as you reach full retirement age.
Okay, full retirement age for me will be in 2026.
Okay,
I will be 65 in June, and I was wanting to go ahead and start it in June, and I understand that it's only going to be 42% of whatever he gets on a monthly basis, and that's still higher than what I would make on my own. So I was contemplating going ahead and starting it in June.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only question is just whether you have the ability to wait. So it gets kind of complicated, but the spousal benefit is reduced. The percentage is this: 25/32 of 1% for every month. You take it early. And so you can run the number and you could look at it annually. But essentially by taking it early, you are going to permanently lock in that lower benefit. So if you have the ability to wait, either by working a little bit longer or dialing in your lifestyle, you certainly will benefit from that. But if you're comfortable going ahead and locking that in, 8% based on your math, lower than what you would get if you wait until full retirement age, which I think you said was 2026, you certainly can do that as long as you understand the implications of that.
Correct. Yes, I've run the spreadsheet and I've looked at all the numbers. And granted, it, you know, if I project it further out 5 years or 10 years, it's going to make a big impact. I mean, because it adds up. But I want to stop taking money out of our IRA to let that grow and build.
Yeah. Well, I can certainly appreciate that. I mean, there is something to be said about that guaranteed 8% increase you're going to get roughly per year by waiting until full retirement age versus an unknown gain that you're going to have on your IRA. And in fact, there's a case to be made that because of this higher inflation that's proving to be stickier and the softening of the job market and the ticking up of unemployment and, you know, we're seeing corporate earnings dip. I mean, we're likely headed into a recession of some kind, and you're probably over the next couple of years going to see a market, and I'm not going to try to predict where the market's going, but just based on everything we're seeing, it's likely that we're going to see a market that's flat to down. And so from that standpoint, there is a case to be made, at least to consider that if, you know, just given the economic conditions, it may make more sense to opt on the side of that guaranteed 8% a year increase that you get in Social Security versus the potential for a gain in the market with a greater likelihood that there's going to be a loss. Does that make sense?
Kind of. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I mean, what we know to be true is that if you wait on Social Security, you're going to get a guaranteed 8% increase in that check, no matter what, that's going to continue for the rest of your life. What we don't know is how the market is going to do if you opt for trying to keep more money in that IRA. And all I'm saying is we've had a great run. We're still all near all-time highs. And what we would expect to be true is that because of the economic conditions right now, unemployment's ticking up, softening of the earnings, high inflation, all of those things. Most economists are expecting us to get into a recession, and that's going to mean the stock market will, at best, probably stay flat. It may even go down. So over the next couple of years, if you have to kind of evaluate which would I rather have, the guaranteed increase on Social Security or the potential for money to increase in my IRA, with the likelihood it's probably not going to increase a whole lot, that's where I might consider opting on the Social Security side. But hopefully that helps you, just gives you some additional food for thought, I think, and pray through it. And I don't think you can make a bad decision here. At the very least, Sue, it sounds like you're very well informed and you've spent some time kind of working through all this. So I like the way you're thinking. Thanks for being on the program today. We appreciate it. Folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've still got plenty of time for your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000. Call right now and we'll take those calls right around the corner. Stick around. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
My wife and I stumbled on the AFR channel on Roku last night, and I was amazed. Not only did it give us access to American Family Radio talk programming or 24-hour AFR music, but the access was instantaneous. And AFR on Roku gives us access to AFR podcasts with archives of our favorite talk shows and special programs. We listened to the Don Wildman Memorial Show, which my wife had missed on the radio. The AFR channel on Roku. Install it free today.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity.
Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
Roe v. Wade is history, but sadly, the killing of unborn babies continues. AFA Action works to keep you informed on how you can help close legal loopholes and fight for the innocent. One way you can help is with your gift to keep AFA Action on the front lines in the battle for life. When you give, you'll also get free access to the Monica Kelsey story that details her mission to save abandoned newborns across America. Stop by AFAAction.net today. AFAAction.net.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today and tackle whatever you're thinking about in your financial life. We've got lines open. Let's head right back to the phones. We're going to go next out to Arkansas. Robert, how can I help you?
Yes, according to your previous caller, I guess what I just understood is my wife could draw from my Social Security at retirement age if she has not worked long enough to draw Social Security? I mean, am I hearing that correct?
Yes. So if your wife doesn't qualify for Social Security benefits based on her own earnings, she can be eligible for spousal benefits based on your Social Security record. And so she can receive up to 50% of your benefit. And she would only get that max of 50% if she waits until full retirement age to take that. She can take it earlier, but that's going to reduce it. So she can get up to 50% so long as she takes it at full retirement age or later.
Okay. And if something were to happen to me, could she draw it at the full percent?
Yeah. So then we've got what is called survivor's benefits. And so survivor's benefits is the sum of money paid to the surviving spouse. And you can only take one or the other. So she could get up to 100% of the deceased worker's benefit amount, which would be you. She would not be able to take both. She'd have to drop the spousal benefit and then move over to yours, which can be a reduction because if your lifestyle was based on you receiving 100% of your benefit and her receiving 50% of hers, and then she switches to yours as a survivor benefit and drops hers, well, then, you know, a percentage of your total income is dropping, and so you just need to make sure that you plan for that in advance, if that makes sense.
Oh, yes, and I actually draw mine early due to a disability. Does that have any factor in it?
It does not, no. Yours will switch to full retirement benefits when you reach full retirement age automatically, and she's still eligible for her spousal benefit.
Well, that's okay. Great. That's great news. You're awesome. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Robert. I appreciate you calling. Call anytime. And never a bad idea, Robert, to call Social Security and just sit down and go over your specific work records and just make sure you understand how and when is the best time to put all this in motion. But if we can help along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got lines open today. Again, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. In the news today, the great wealth transfer transfer has started, but millennials and Gen Zers may not inherit as much as they anticipate. That's at least what we're reading. The transfer is estimated to involve, listen to this, $68 trillion, with a significant portion going to, of course, millennials and Gen Zers. This unprecedented transfer will have, of course, broad implications for the global economy and financial industry. Younger investors, particularly those between 21 and 42, are less likely to believe that traditional stocks and bonds alone can yield above average returns. It's in part due to the fact that they were growing up and have experienced the financial crisis and Great Recession, among other things. So they're exploring, and you won't be surprised in this, digital assets, even sustainable investments are on the rise. Now making up, I just saw this the other day, in the U.S., what are called sustainable investments or ethical investments, which includes this broader category of ESG investments, which I have a lot of issues with. We won't get into that. But that's nearly 18% of the overall investment holdings. And nearly half of these young investors are holding cryptos, and a significant increase in that, as I mentioned, sustainable category. Now, the millennials, having weathered the storm of the 2008 financial crisis, really have demonstrated some remarkable financial resilience and adaptability, just given their experiences. And they tend to prioritize experiences over material possessions when it comes to how they spend their money. They're also quick to embrace fintech solutions because they grew up with a phone in their hand. This generational difference in outlook is not just reshaping, but it's literally revolutionizing how financial services are offered. Let me just remind you, though, in light of this overall bigger conversation around wealth transfer, it's so important that you have an effective estate plan in place to not only preserve and transfer your wealth efficiently, but here's the key question at the center of this. Is the next steward chosen and prepared? And both are essential because it's a stewardship issue, right? Your last stewardship decision is making sure that the next steward is chosen and prepared. Who is that steward going to be, and are they prepared? Meaning, if it's a charity or your church, great. And there's some wonderful ways to give what God has entrusted to you away to ministries that are on your heart. A great example of that, we talk about it often here on this program, is through the AFA Foundation, American Family Association, at afafoundation.net. Chelsea and Riley would be delighted to sit down with you. I'd be happy to be a part of those conversations as well, to look at everything from an income stream from a charitable gift annuity for life, plus a tax deduction, and giving the balance, whatever's left, to AFA to continue their work after your death. Or maybe it's a complex gift, giving an asset gift, either now or at death, as a part of your estate plan to American Family Association. But we need to be thinking about that. We also need to be thinking about heirs in terms of being chosen and prepared. We can't just automatically assume everything goes to the kids. I mean, you can, but here's the question. If the money you leave is going to accelerate the trajectory of their life that they're already on, is that a good thing or a bad thing? What does that lifestyle look like now, and what might it look like in the future if we add $1, $2, $3 million, even $500,000 to the equation? And are we okay with that? What's likely to happen? What's expected to happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? Thinking through all of these things, especially for a child that perhaps is a prodigal, living a lifestyle that's walking away from the Lord, adding money to that equation may not be the best thing. So I think we've got to get a lot of prayerful consideration to this. And I think it's why it's so critical that you have a certified kingdom advisor journeying with you, somebody who's going to challenge you to think through the application of a biblical worldview to financial decision making and estate planning, and ask you those questions about giving now or in the future. You remember what Ron Blue, the popular author and one of my mentors, says, do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And that doesn't minimize the impact of estate giving, but it does say, hey, what could we be doing now in terms of accelerating our generosity that we're missing because we're just letting it continue to grow in portfolios that we don't touch? Well, what could we be doing to further the gospel now at this moment in time where, you know, our culture is hangs in the balance? And, you know, we can trust the outcome. It's in the Lord's hands. But what is our part to be salt and light in this world? And how could our giving help to allow us to be a part of God's activity? Well, these are all just big things we need to be thinking about, and they're important because I think it ultimately comes back to this idea of us being a faithful steward of what God has entrusted to us. All right, all the lines are full. I've got questions waiting. I'll get to those in our final segment. A quick break. Back with your questions right after this. Stay with us.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We see and hear about the big public issues happening in our nation's capital, but what about the things that happen behind the scenes? That information can give us the whole story and help shape our opinions. That's why you need to listen to Washington Watch Weekend with Tony Perkins. He and his guests will give you all parts of the Washington news from a conservative Christian perspective. Catch Washington Watch Weekend Saturdays at 5:05 a.m. and 6 p.m. Central, and Sunday mornings at 3 Central on AFR.
When you hear the phrase, rich toward God, what comes to mind? Surely it doesn't mean making God rich. Is it about us becoming rich so we can give? Or maybe it's an invitation to something much bigger. In the new Rich Toward God study, FaithFi has created a way for you to explore and reflect on a well-known biblical parable about a very rich man with a very big problem. Request a copy of the Rich Toward God study today with your gift of $25 or more by going to faithfi.com/give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners, LTD, and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services, LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here at American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions today, let's head right to the phones. We'll go to Tennessee. Hi, Casey. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
My wife is drawing Social Security from her former husband who passed away. Survivor's benefit.
Yes.
My income was higher than theirs was. Would there be a bit in switching from her drawing survivor's benefits from his to drawing benefits from me because she's married to me?
Right. So you're talking about after you pass away, could she switch to your benefit?
Well, from what I understand, she can draw Social Security now on my Social Security because she's over 65, and so am I.
Yes. The key would be, are you already taking your Social Security?
Yes.
Okay. And did she remarry you before the age of 60?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's going to factor into all of this. What I would probably do is schedule a visit with the Social Security Administration just to look at all of the different options. I mean, normally what the rule says is you can't receive survivor's benefits if you remarry before 60. If you remarry after 60, then you can still collect benefits on your former spouse's record. And then when you reach age 66, you can get retirement benefits either from your new or current spouse's record if it's higher. And so that would be the option that she has in terms of switching over.
Okay, so the possibility is there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And they'll let you take the higher of the two once you're eligible for it.
Awesome. That's what I was looking for.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Casey.
Thank
God
you,
bless you. Yeah, appreciate your call. To North Carolina. Hi, Renee. How can I help?
Hey, how you doing? Good. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Yeah, go ahead.
My question is, I'm drawing full Social Security. I'm 68 years old. My second wife, we were married 26 years. She's 63, but not drawing Social Security. If I were to die, does she receive part of my Social Security or all of it because she's never remarried?
Yeah. Yes. So the answer to that is she may if she meets certain criteria here based on your work record. As long as the marriage lasted for at least 10 years, she is unmarried at the time of applying for benefits. She's at least 62, and it would be based on your record being higher than what she might get from her own. And so, you know, is this an ex-wife of yours right now?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so as long as those conditions are met that I mentioned, your ex-wife would be able to receive benefits equal to 50% of the amount you would receive at your full retirement age, even if you've not yet applied for benefits yourself. And also may be eligible for the spousal, for the survivor's benefit as well. So I think the key is she would just need to check with the Social Security Administration. But if she's unmarried at the time and the marriage lasted for 10 years and she's at least 62, then yes, she could, take that spousal benefit.
Okay. Wow. That's interesting. You mentioned, if her Social Security was more than mine, She could not draw it, or she could still draw
no,
it?
No, what I'm saying is she can collect the higher of either her spousal benefit, which is up to 50% of yours, or her own benefit if she worked long enough to have a work record that allows her to get her own benefit.
Oh, yeah, she's worked all long time. Okay. Great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Let's see. Let's head to Kansas. Carol, you'll be next up on the program. How can I help?
Yes, I want to know about annuities. I have some money to put to roll over into an IRA is what I want to do, and I want to put it into a type of it. I mean, I'm thinking about putting it into a type of annuity, but I've been told to beware of that several times. But this annuity that they call it annuity at Farm Bureau, and I put some in there long time ago, and it was a guaranteed 4% going. And they say I can put more into that now because And I can draw from it at any time I would want.
Okay.
And it'd be accruing that 4. And that, I guess that's what I'm wondering there. I guess there's different annuities, but
there are, and there's actually far better rates than that available today. I mean, you can get, you know, anywhere from 5 all the way up to 7%. As a guaranteed fixed annuity, depending upon how long it is. So they're not all created equal. So where is this money today? It's in an annuity currently, and you're looking at moving it to another annuity or somewhere else?
It's with Fidelity on a 401k.
Oh, I see. Okay.
They have to change it. They just want to change it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, I have the.
Go ahead.
401. Yeah, it's a it's one I had when I quit working, TSA retirement plan.
Okay. Yeah, got it. Okay, yeah, so you absolutely could do that. You'd roll it to an IRA annuity, and so it'd stay in a tax-deferred environment, and then you could use a guaranteed product. What I would probably do, Carol, is connect with an advisor in your area that could kind of walk you through all this and help you evaluate what is the best annuity option for you. And then ultimately, you know, determine whether you go with another fixed annuity, which rates are better now than what you got previously on that 4% guaranteed annuity. You can certainly do better than that. But you want an advisor who can help you kind of explore all of that.
Well, I've sort of tried to do that. And I haven't found any that would be better. I guess I can keep looking a little bit.
Yeah.
But I might have to. And
that's where an advisor would, I think, be helpful to you as you, you know, consider your options. Somebody who could look, especially somebody who's not going to stand to benefit and earn a commission from the product, who can really take an objective look on all of this.
Okay. All right. But there are different annuities.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's not only are there different types of annuities, you've got the fixed annuity like you've had previously with a guaranteed return, and then you've got the variable annuity where there's underlying investments inside the annuity, and although they may provide a floor on the investments where you can't lose money, they're going to give you a portion of the upside, but there's those. And then among those two categories of annuities, there's all the different, you know, insurance companies and the various ways that, you know, they, you know, offer those annuities in terms of the rate and the premium and all the different features. And so it can get quite complicated. And that's why I think having somebody that can help you look over all this and make a decision, you know, could be really helpful.
All right, then. Thank you much.
All right, Carol, thank you for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. You know, folks, we have covered a lot of ground today, and, you know, these are all great questions. I think ultimately it comes down to realizing that, you know, although our financial lives can seem very complicated and there's an unending number of decisions that we have to make all the time, we can boil it down into really the basic uses of money, that which we live on, that which we give, that which we owe, and that which we grow. And ultimately, God's word speaks to all of those. And we can pull out principles and big themes in God's word about how we make those decisions. But over all of it is this kind of overriding idea that God owns everything. And so that makes us a money manager for the King of Kings. Our goal there is to be found faithful. Hey, let's finish up with our calls today in Mississippi. Rick, you will be our last caller today. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I've got about a year and a half before I retire. And I'm raising a grandchild, and everybody's telling me to go ahead and draw on his Social Security, too. Is there any repercussions of that? Will it short him on his, or can I do that, or what?
It would not affect his ultimate ability to collect anything long-term. Social Security Administration does provide benefits to grandchildren if certain requirements are met. You've got to be the legal guardian or have legally adopted. It's not just physical custody. Living arrangements are a key factor. They have to have begun living with you, the grandparent, before age 18 and must be dependent on you. Generally, that means you're providing at least half of their support. And then typically, both of the child's biological or legal parents must either be disabled or deceased, or the grandparent, again, must have legally adopted the child in the absence of parental support. And then ultimately, you know, the grandparent has to be eligible to receive Social Security retirement or disability benefits. But if all that is met, then, you know, the grandchild may qualify to receive benefits as a dependent on your earnings record. And that can continue until age 18 or 19 if they're attending high school full time. And then obviously there's different factors if they're disabled. So what I would probably do, Rick, is contact the Social Security Administration either by phone or just go to ssa.gov. And there's a list of online services there. You can also schedule an in-person meeting and just kind of go over your specific situation, and they'll tell you exactly what you need to know. But the bottom line is, yes, if certain conditions are met, there can be some assistance there, specifically when you are the guardian or have adopted a grandchild who's under 18. Thanks for calling, sir, and thanks for taking care of that precious child. I know that's something that's on the heart of God for sure. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. Let me say a big thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without them. Adam Suddeth, our producer today, helping us take our phone calls today. Phone screening was Dr. Robert Sutherland, providing me with great research and assistance. Here today is Taylor Standrich. For those gentlemen and the rest of the team here at FaithFi, a big thanks to you for being a part of the broadcast today, and we'll hope you come back and join us tomorrow. We'll do it all over again. Until then, may the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.